What's up, everyone? Welcome to another Roto Grinders podcast, a weekly preview with TJ and the Looch. I'm Justin Carlucci alongside of TJ Lasig. What's going on, TJ? How are you?
How are we doing? Doing pretty good on this Monday here. Had a crazy high scoring week, I would say, across all of our teams in GFS. I mean, Lockett going off for 50 plus DK points, and it was nice to have the late night hammer back in true fashion, getting that Sunday night game on the main slate. I kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was just a throwback to a couple years ago when that was the norm. But yeah, I think there's a lot to. We had the, like we said, that late game, Seattle, Arizona. We figured it was going to be a high scoring game going into the week, and it turned out that when everything was said and done, that was pretty much the game that you needed to have a stack from in order to win any of these tournaments. So we can get into that a bit, but yeah, overall pretty good week.
Yeah, when you have a bunch, it was a little bit of a rough ride for me, and I'm one of those guys that scored a ton, and you know, you see a lot of people complaining on Twitter, oh, I scored 170 and didn't cash it. I mean, it was what it was. I mean, you had guys over 10% going absolutely ballistic. You're going to need both of them to make a ton of money, and even if you had one of them, I mean, I'm sure there's people that maybe had Davante Adams and not Lockett, probably didn't cash, right? I mean, Tyler Lockett saw 20 targets last night. 20.
Crazy.
20 targets. So, yeah, I mean, really the recipe here was you needed Lockett, you needed Davante Adams together to take things down. And, man, what a barn burner. Russell Wilson, 50 attempts throwing the ball. We did see Chris Carson injured earlier in the game, but you know, Carlos Hyde came in, looked like the workhorse a little bit there, and had the lead at halftime after half. But what a shootout this turned in. You know, Kyler is incredible, pure athlete, doing his thing. You know, Hopkins continues to just pretty much beat up on anyone that's in front of him. We talked a little bit about that too. And DK Metcalf, 5 targets, 2 catches in a game where Seattle scores 34 points. Is this just a case of the coverage was really good on him? And you know, how can you explain this one? What's up with Lockett seeing 20 targets and Metcalf 5?
Yeah, you almost wonder if I mean, Peterson was all over Metcalf, right? And maybe he was just shutting him down and he couldn't find a way to get open. But I mean, every time you looked up, it was Tyler Lockett getting targeted, and the majority of the time catching the ball. It was really something. I mean, the most memorable play from DK Metcalf was when he chased down that interception all the way down the field and then made that tackle, which was impressive in its own right. So yeah, I mean, it's – and right – I think the 2 or 3 weeks before this, Metcalf was the one getting more volume and more production than Lockett. So it really is going to continue to be a bit of a guessing game with those two going forward. And, yeah, I mean, you could double stack them too. I mean, I was saying before the show, I in one of my FanDuel GPP lineups double stacked Russ with Lockett and Metcalf. And it's just like, man – Metcalf just kills the lineup, right? It's when so many different people are going off like we have in GPPs, you pretty much need to be perfect to win. And we were talking a little bit about it before the show. We touched on it, I think, last week on the pod as well, just this concept of game stacking. And I mean, it continues to for the most part, show up each and every week that the winner of these tournaments has some sort of game stack, right? I was just spending some time going through results DB here on Roto Grinders, and a lot of the winning lineups that I'm seeing are Kyler paired up with Hopkins, sometimes paired up also with Kirk, and then of course having Lockett on the way back there. And it just creates so much correlation in your lineup that when a game goes off like that does, right, somebody out there is going to have a game stack. So unless you think that there's a week where none of these games are going to go off, but I mean, in today's NFL, we're almost always seeing one game go for 60, if not 70 plus points on a week to week basis. So I personally am going to continue to, in my own lineups, build. I don't build the GPP lineup anymore without game stacking personally. I just think it's the right way to go about it. Again, it minimizes the number of things that you have to get right. If the thing that you're trying to get right is that this game is going to shoot out, and then you pick different pieces from the game in a couple of your different lineups, then hopefully you just land on that winning combination. But just wanted to touch on that. And you know, if you're out there listening and aren't employing game stacks in your GPP builds, I would definitely take some time to reconsider that strategy, because it's pretty much the only way to win tournaments every single week. Granted, it's possible to get there with a bunch of one-offs, but for the most part, game stacks are what's going to do it for you.
Yeah, we've seen some GPP winners on FanDuel with a couple of maybe two-player total team stacks and maybe not running it back. But we talked about the differences between sites, and you know, FanDuel is more touchdown dependent. You know, there could be a week where there's seven games with a 50-plus total, which is kind of not too crazy anymore with how quickly these offenses are and the crazy amounts of snaps everybody's getting off. But there's going to be some weeks where there's not. So when you see a bunch of lower totals, you know, I'm definitely more prone to having more players from one game that I think is going to do the damn thing. And, you know, we keep talking about every week these quarterbacks with rushing upside, and just Russell Wilson at 84 yards on the ground last night. Think about it. That's like an extra 200 passing yards. It's like hidden, right? You can think about it that way. If you think about it that way, it's almost like Russell Wilson threw for almost 600 yards last night. If you turn that into how many, you know, DK points it would have been. So it's just insane. And you have Kyler on the other side, 60 yards and a score, I think he had. So it's we're hitting on the same things here. And you're going to see the pricing is reflecting that. All the guys are rushing upside typically are towards the top. I'm looking at DK pricing, which is thankfully out. Mahomes against the Jets. You would have told me Kansas City scored over 30 points and Mahomes was not a factor. I would have called you crazy. But that was a strange game, and Kansas City kind of blew the doors off Denver. Mahomes wasn't great. Didn't have to do a lot. Didn't have to do anything, really. But then you got Russell Wilson at 78. You know, Aaron Rodgers has just been on a mission, and he has a little bit of a minor rushing upside himself once in a while. And of course, you got Lamar against Pittsburgh, 74. Josh Allen at 7K. So, you know, a lot of guys who can gain those points with their legs. And you know, obviously, Herbert, 6,900, finally getting some love, and what a tear he's been on, Justin Herbert. So same things, game stacks, quarterbacks are rushing upside. It's kind of the new norm in that sense. And, you know, Russell Wilson is, I guess you can say, kind of was a blueprint of things to come for years, and just the way he's been able to extend plays and rack up those fantasy points. And now we have, what, probably a third of the league quarterbacks with some rushing upside now. I mean, look at Josh Allen and what Cam Newton, I guess Cam Newton was a blueprint of that too. And man, was he bad this week too, by the way. But yeah, so it was a crazy game last night. Kudos to you if you had a ton of Tyler Lockett exposure and you likely needed it. But on the flip side, what's the injury news from the Cardinals, TJ? Kenyon Drake going to miss some time?
It is time for Chase Edmonds season. I mean, I think that we've all been waiting for it. I'm sure people will be taking their Chase Edmonds best ball victory laps on Twitter. But, I mean, you just watch the game, and he just looks so much more explosive than Drake, more dynamic, very good in the passing game. I think it's a plus. I mean, obviously you never want someone to get hurt, but I feel like it's going to make the Cardinals offense as a whole more dynamic if they're going to be running out Chase Edmonds as that every down kind of guy. I'm not sure off the top of my head who they have behind him going forward, but yeah, it sounds like I think they're on bye this week, the Cardinals. Yep. But once they come back from bye, maybe it's a good thing they're on bye. Otherwise, we would have had like 5K Chase Edmonds. That would have just been the smash chalk this week. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with his price when they come back. But I mean, he's definitely, you saw it last night. He ended up with, what, 7 targets Chase Edmonds got in that game last night. So I think he's going to bring a ton of floor-ceiling combination with his role in the passing game, with his dynamic play-making ability, and in that offense with Kyler. So, yeah, I think Drake and Odell Beckham and Chris Carson are really I'm not sure if we have affirmative news on Carson, but Odell sounds like he's done, right?
We'll get to Odell and another.
I think those were the big injuries this week.
Crazy Vegas game. High Vegas total, and it delivered in Cleveland. We'll get to Odell and company momentarily. But it feels like Chase Edmonds has been around forever, and he's only 24. A couple of David Johnson years where everybody's like, well, watch out for this kid, Chase Edmonds. And you're right. He's explosive. I think you're going to see even Kyler run out of the gun some more with a back like him who's elusive. And, you know, Drake is pretty much kind of just a gasher, right? So that could really open up even more for the Cardinals. And hopefully DK and fans will both adjust the pricing to what it should be. Otherwise, we're going to have a 75% Chase Edmonds week coming up in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, Beckham, you know, unfortunate news coming out of Cleveland. They won a thriller but lost their best receiver in Odell Beckham Jr. It was at a confirmed ACL, and which could open the door for obviously some targets, some air yards. And it's not like Beckham was having the craziest season, but he was one of the guys I talked about who statistically had the biggest discrepancy in air yards to yards, which is just shows you how inaccurate Baker really was. And, man, did he start off this game on the wrong foot. I remember checking his numbers in the first quarter. He was like 0-for-5 with a pick. And I was like, oh, boy, here we go. But it's not how you start. It's how you finish. And what a game that turned out to be from a fantasy point production side. And had some tight ends scoring. You know, maybe Jarvis Landry started stepping up in the future. Kareem Hunt was pretty good. So what are your observations from that one, TJ?
Yeah, I think Kareem Hunt is looking great. I think he was a great play last week. Will continue to be a good play going forward. I think his price stayed pretty much flat. I think he's maybe 6,900 going into this next week, where they'll be home against the Raiders. So I think that's a pretty good matchup there, and that's someone I have my eye on early is Kareem Hunt for next week. Just has such a big role right now in this offense. He's getting work in the rushing game, getting work in the passing game. Let's see, he had 18 carries for 76 yards. Also had 4 targets in the passing game, playing a ton of snaps. So I think that Kareem Hunt is and will continue to be the number one person that I'm looking to in this offense. And then with Beckham out now, it's about the second level of receivers. So looking at their target share from this past week, you had Rashard Higgins and Jarvis Landry, both with 6 targets. Harrison Bryant, tight end, who I guess was playing ahead of Njoku, or they were splitting time a bit, but Harrison Bryant ended up getting 5 targets and getting into the end zone twice. So he was obviously a super off-the-board play this past week, but maybe he's someone that will gain some potential steam going forward. I mean, we've been struggling a bit with the tight end position all year. There's just not a ton to love week to week. So let's see. It looks like he's 3,200 again next week in that matchup with the Raiders. So nothing I'm dying to go to there. I mean, yeah, like you said, Beckham just wasn't as big a part of the offense as you think. So it's not like there's massive, massive amounts of usage to go around. I'd personally give the biggest bump to Hunt. And then you've got Landry, Higgins, Bryan, and Njoku. We'll kind of see how that plays out.
It could be a case of Baker just not being that good again. Beckham had 584 air yards, and Landry had 358. He was the next highest on the team. Comes out to here, air yard market share, 35% for Beckham this year. Landry was at 20%. So, yeah, but Kareem Hunt, they brought him in to catch passes. Last year, I know he didn't play a full year, but he was on pace for over 70 catches last year. We know he's diverse, and when your guy's struggling to throw the ball down the field, what's he going to do? Check it down and go to the tight ends, right? I guess it's worth noting that Rashard Higgins has worked his way back into fantasy football relevance again, as he does from time to time, 20% of the market share in the game against Cincinnati. So we'll have to check out for some updates here. And like you said, you know, Cleveland has 2 tight ends now, which seem to be in the picture as well. So this is the thing, TJ. They want to be a run-first offense still, right? So I guess it depends on game script and what you think is going to happen. And definitely nice matchup, just first look for Kareem, like you said, out of the gate.
Absolutely. Yep, definitely something to have our eye on there. Off the jump, high total in that game, too, I think. Yeah, 54 total, Vegas, Cleveland. So I think Hunt's going to be a premier go-to option there. And, yeah, we'll just have to evaluate those passing options. It's going to be one of those games where we're getting a lot of those, right? These games with super high totals where it's not super clear off the jump of who's going to get the fantasy production. And I think that Cleveland-Cincinnati game is the perfect example from this past week. And they certainly delivered from a fantasy perspective. I think some of the Joe Burrow stacks were doing pretty well in tournaments until that Seattle-Arizona game kicked in. So they're an interesting team to keep an eye on. And to me, Joe Burrow and Herbert are kind of emerging as the, like, second tier of dual threat quarterbacks, right? They're obviously not on the level of a Kyler and a Russ, but they come at a cheaper price tag and they don't bring the same level of upside, although they're starting to show that they do, right? I think they both had like 38 and 41 DraftKings points each this week. So Bengals stacks is something that I think is going to continue to interest me just because I like Burrow. I like Higgins. I like Boyd. I don't love A.J. Green, although he's continuing to be involved. So, I mean, you can certainly play A.J. Green. And then, obviously, last week we had the Gio Bernard chalk that opened up. And we'll have to monitor what Mixon's status is going to be coming into this week. But, yeah, we've got the Bengals against your Titans, which is another high total, 54.5 points there. So, the Titans are an offensive football team now, right? Like, I feel like defense first, running the ball with Henry, but it seems like maybe they've got a little bit of a identity switch happening in front of our eyes.
Yeah, and it's hard to see that when it's been the other way around for so many years. The ball just didn't move in Tennessee, from Jake Locker to Mariota. You know, you even go back when Hasselbeck was a placeholder, you know, 8 or 9 years ago for a while. So never thought Ryan Tannehill would be the guy to turn it around, but it's happening and it's a thing. And as bad as they played in the first half against Pittsburgh, you saw what this team could do in the second half. You know, they had to honor Derrick Henry's run game, no matter what his numbers were. Cause if you don't, you know, step up and stop the run, he's going to kill you. You know, A.J. Brown, the yak monster, hit a little play-action slant over the middle, got them right back in the game, and that's what A.J. Brown does. Amazing that A.J. Brown and Metcalf play together at Ole Miss, and they had 5 wins, I think, that senior season. I don't know if it's a testament to poor quarterback play or how good the SEC is, but any NFL team would have been lucky to have this duo together, as Ole Miss did a couple of years ago. But, yeah, there's 5 games with 50-point totals or higher right now and 2 more that are 48 or more. So half the main slate looks to be pretty offensive-friendly. You're looking at Titans-Bengals, that's a good game to stack. And I think ownership won't even be too crazy. You know, Bengals, Titans, and where's the ball going to go? But I think it's a good game stack. We talked a little bit earlier about the game stacks here. You know, T. Higgins is in play, obviously, as well. I know you mentioned a couple of these guys. And A.J. Brown or Henry on the other side, you know, take your pick. So I think that's a really, really good call there, and could be borderline sneaky to, you know, moving forward here. You know, people are still going to be hesitant to kind of hit the button on Joe Burrow, right, on a slate where there's a lot of talent and higher-priced quarterbacks. But that's a game where there's going to be a lot of points. You look at Roethlisberger's numbers, he was attacking the outside. You look at his pass chart, everything was outside against the numbers. You know, the Titans are still missing Adoree Jackson, and, you know, they're rolling out Ty Smith and Jonathan Joseph. Like, this team can be exploited on the outside, and I think we might see a shootout between those two teams.
Yep. Definitely. Yeah, looking at the numbers here, Boyd and A.J. Green both with 13 targets last week. So Boyd catches 11 of them. A.J. Green only catches 7 of them. I mean, man, it seems like the completion percentage when throwing at A.J. Green just has to be horrendous on the season. But the volume's there. But yeah, I think Boyd is still the big dog in that offense, and I just think Higgins has more upside than Green, even if Green's getting that volume. So yeah, interesting game to stack there. And then I think another higher total that we have here is Minnesota at Green Bay, another 54.5 point total. Green Bay sitting as 6.5 point home favorites. And I mean, until Tyler Lockett went off in the night game, it was all about Devontae Adams early on, right? I mean, he came back and came back in a big way in his usual role. 16 targets, caught 13 of them, scored 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's just clearly the premier wide receiver in the league right now. DraftKings very quickly bumped his price tag up to, I think, 8,800 now. So we were able to get him at 7,900 last week. Not going to be the case this week, but still think that he has to be in consideration. The target share, the volume. I mean, that's where Aaron Rodgers is looking, and he's just a tough guy to cover. And they're going to be looking in the red zone. He can do it all. Adams.
Yeah, you go back to week one, there was over 70 points in this game, the same matchup. Usually you think of division foes and their ugly, ugly games, but Rodgers had 364 and 4 touchdowns. Adams had 17 targets that game, 2 scores. That was with Lazard and with Aaron Jones. Interesting. And Dalvin Cook, I saw a report that said, I'm like 99.999% sure I'm going to play kind of thing. So that's integral news here. That's integral news. I think it's interesting, though, because if people are like really game log hunting, I'm wondering where they're going to go. Because in week one, Adam Thielen had a really nice game. 2 scores, 8 targets, 100 yards. And Justin Jefferson, you know, first game of the NFL, because it was pretty much irrelevant. The last time Minnesota took the field was against Atlanta a week ago already, where Jefferson was the leverage play, had 41% of the air yard market share. Which is interesting, because the previous 2 weeks Thielen dominated. So here's a team where I want a piece of, but I can't rationally full stack them together with Cousins, because Cousins just doesn't do enough, right? But one or the other are usually in a decent spot. This is going to be a good game environment. You would think the game script would favor them to, you know, have to keep the pedal down. So I'm definitely going to take a hard look at either getting Thielen or Jefferson on my teams, and it's hard to put your finger on which one of them it's going to be. I mean, they're combining for about 70% of their air yard market share numbers. It's ridiculous in the air. But, you know, you look through every game this year, and one of them has pretty much hit value in pretty much every game. So I'm really like torn on how I feel about these Green Bay corners, Jair Alexander, Kevin King. I'm so hot or cold on them from week to week. One week the group plays really well, and a lot of buzz about how good Alexander was in the offseason moving forward, and he is good. But for me, it's just tough. You know, and then the next week they give up like 30 or something like that. But they're coming off a game where they got shredded against Tom Brady and company the previous week, right? Like that was just a total abomination. Deshaun Watson, I know we talked earlier, he kind of backdoored a decent game, but you know, Fuller and Cooks didn't really go nuts. So I'm a little like on the 50 yard line on how I feel about that Green Bay secondary. But either way, you know, obviously Adams gonna have a lot of ownership in this game. I'm sure Jamal Williams price will be reflected on you know, his usage and role. Is he like 61 on DraftKings, I think, or something like that?
yep, up to 6,100 now.
Still a decent price. Minnesota's been struggling defensively, so you know, I can't really fault anyone for going back there. Any thoughts on the Viking side of the ball?
I agree with what you said. I mean, I think it comes down to Thielen and Jefferson. Their prices are starting to come pretty close together, right? So Thielen's at 7,200, Jefferson's at 6,500. Lean Thielen, just because I think that there's more consistency and the larger sample that we see there. So I also a fine play. And I'm also on board with what you're saying in terms of not necessarily loving the quarterbacks in this game, right? Like Kirk Cousins, I mean, I don't have a ton of interest there. And I think Rodgers is a great play, but I mean, Rodgers is 7,600. He's the third most expensive quarterback on the board. And like we've said, it's just, it's hard to win tournaments without these dual threat quarterbacks. So to me, about game stacking and correlation, right? It doesn't always have to be the full game stack with the quarterback, right? You could stack up another game and then put Adams and Thielen in a lineup together. And those two pieces are just give you higher upside combination in your lineup. So that's probably more of a direction of where I'd be looking to go. Obviously, if you're playing Adams and Thielen together, not the cheapest combination of wide receivers, so you'd need to pair it with a smaller stack. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with this game in general. And, yeah, I think Jamal Williams, 6,100, is probably about a fair price for him at this point. I mean, he got his 19 carries last week, so he was pretty much a full-on workhorse. Dylan mixed in a bit, but not a ton.
Two things to piggyback off that. I take back my statement about Aaron Rodgers having like slight rushing upside. I guess I'm like still envisioning Aaron Rodgers like 5 years ago who was running a little bit like when he had to, but he's not. So that's my bad. That's my bad. I think he has like 45 total rushing yards this year. But the last three games he's played, he's thrown for 11 total touchdowns, which is just insane. You know, that clunker at Tampa Bay, but also like his schedule, right? He's played Minnesota. Like they've been bad this year. Detroit, bad. New Orleans, generally pretty bad against the pass and a good game environment. Atlanta, 4 touchdowns, 300 yards. The Tampa Bay, that defense has really stepped it up. You know, people are talking about it. Winston's not putting them in bad situations anymore like he was last year. And then Houston, who Ryan Tannehill shredded, and now he threw for 4 scores. So he's playing incredible football. But outside of Tampa Bay, I don't see a defense in there that scares me. And Minnesota doesn't. I'm not saying they do by any means, but I get what you're saying here. You know, the price is up. And another thing we talk about sometimes is, you know, some people are afraid to play a running back and a receiver from the same game on the same team and not use the quarterback. But you know, I look at Minnesota, and I wouldn't be shocked if Dalvin Cook and either one of those other receivers were in the winning GPP lineups. Because let's face it, Cousins doesn't have to throw the ball at Dalvin Cook. I mean, it's that simple. It might be like more of a price thing. If two players are very expensive, it is tough to play them together. You know, we talked about the Seattle-Arizona game last night, and they were rightfully very high, and rightfully so. But, you know, Jamal, you know, and on the flip side, like you said, Jamal Williams, 6K, and Adams, you know, they could both get it done. But maybe Aaron Rodgers only throws 2 touchdowns and isn't in the optimal team, right? So it is a price, you know, a lot of things to take into consideration there. But I will say Justin Jefferson for GPPs is kind of – people might see the price and be like, well, I don't know if I can pay 65 for Justin Jefferson. And he's sandwiched between Tyreek Hill, Kenny Galladay, Tyler Boyd against the Titans, and Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods against Miami, and Keenan Allen, you know, coming off a huge volume game. So might be able to get a little, you know, some decent ownership on Justin Jefferson. What do the industry people call it? Sticker shock? When the price is kind of at that level,
that definitely is sticker shock. Looking at a 6,500 Justin Jefferson, but I mean, he showed incredible ceiling, so you can definitely go there. And yeah, back to Dalvin. I mean, I think he's a fine play as well. Just looking at the running back position in general this week, I mean, you have Kamara at the top at Chicago. Not the greatest matchup for him, but I mean, I feel like Kamara had like a terrible game last week and he still gets 23 points. So like to me, Kamara's just going to get points no matter what, but 8,200 at Chicago is a bit steep there. So I don't think he's going to be as popular as he was this week. Hunt at 6,900 certainly sticks out. We've got CEH 6,500. The Chiefs are like 20-point favorites, I think. Yeah. I feel like the last time I saw a line this high was when was it the they lost. I think it was like the Vikings were like 24-point favorites over the Bills 1 year and then just like crushed everyone's Survivor pool dreams. That's what that reminds me of. But yeah, obviously there's big news there with Le'Veon Bell being on the Chiefs now. I think he got six carries last week. What did their snap?
Yeah, he had six carries, but Edwards-Helaire had eight.
Yeah, that was just a weird game. Like, the Chiefs just didn't have the ball, right? They were just
– I mean, we saw some Chad Henne. Downs, we saw Chad Henne play.
Yeah, I mean, that – said. I don't think that we can really learn anything from that game. And, yeah, the weather was whatever, too. Just a strange game. But, I mean, 20-point home favorites, I think CEH has to be in play, even if Bell's in there mixing in. CEH still has upside.
Oh, I'm just seeing Le'Veon's price for the first time. This is like historic. 4,600. This is historic. We're witnessing history here. What did you say? Backdoor Le'Veon Bell stack revenge game? Oh, you just said a lot of my favorite things. Oh, I thought that's what you said, TJ. Oh.
That's exactly what I said. I mean, I don't hate it. Let's see.
I can't believe they signed him. I mean, I guess like it's 2020. We've seen some crazy stuff. But I didn't see it coming.
No, definitely not. And now we've got Antonio Brown.
Oh yeah.
Heading to the Bucs, right?
We didn't get to talk about that.
Supposedly heading to the Bucs.
Tom Brady just has so much pull wherever he goes.
Right?
Yeah. You saw the Bruce Arians quotes over the summer when they were kind of throwing it out there, right? He's like, oh, there's no room for this guy kind of thing. Well, guess what, Bruce? Someone went over the top on you. I don't know who it was. But, man, can we free my guy Scotty Miller? Scotty Miller put on. He had like 100 yards. Yeah. I touted him like two Thursday night showdown shows ago, and he played like 40 snaps and didn't have a catch. So sometimes I guess you just need that motivation, right? So I know this is like a funny narrative, but Antonio Brown going to Tampa Bay, Scotty Miller's like, I got to ball out or they're going to kick me off the team. CEH went off last week after the Le'Veon news. He had like 160 yards. Just some, you know, funny narratives to kind of talk about here. Yeah, Le'Veon Bell, 4,600. I don't know. They're projected to score like 30-something points. You never know. He could dump one in. I'm not saying play Le'Veon Bell, guys, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had like 50 yards and a touchdown or something in this game. Let's see.
Definitely. There should be plenty of ball to go around there. So
how about another 425 game? We talked about Seattle. Just so to tie it in with Seattle, they're playing host to the Niners in a 54-point total game, 425 this coming Sunday. I mean, do you like an angry Russell Wilson? And the Niners are tough. I mean, what a tough division the NFC West is. From top to bottom. What are your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Seattle, the offense is so good and the defense is so mediocre that they're almost always in play. And yeah, I know that San Francisco is typically one of the teams where you say they have a strong defense, but I don't see them being able to do much to stop Russ and company. And yeah, on San Francisco is always a tough team to figure out. I mean, all of a sudden this week, Jeff Wilson is just getting like every carry and every snap, and McKinnon's hanging out on the sidelines. Like, I don't think any of us saw that coming. So for me, when it comes to San Francisco, it's pretty much always Kittle or bust. I just think that the other spot, that's so difficult to predict what Shanahan's going to do there. So if I'm looking at this Seattle San Fran game, I'd probably be looking at a Lockett Kittle or maybe even a Russ Metcalf Kittle. Again, I think for tournaments, it's always a smart move to go with whichever of the two between Metcalf and Lockett is not getting the chatter, not getting the ownership.
Yeah.
If somebody tells you that they can predict on a week-to-week basis which of those two is going to go off, that's not true. Like, there's no indicator to determine one way or the other, but I could almost guarantee you that one of them is going to go off. I think, and they're too expensive. It's too expensive to play Russ, Lockett, and DK Metcalf together. So, but again, even you get to a Russ, Lockett, or Metcalf and Kittle, I mean, even that's expensive. So, but like we said, I said the same thing this time last week about the Seattle-Arizona game. Said, it's a great game to stack, but it's an expensive game to stack. But the people that paid the money to stack it and found the pieces to fit around it elsewhere, those are the people that won tournaments. So I think that, you know, we can't be afraid to – it may seem like we're overspending to stack a game, but it can certainly be the right thing to do. And obviously a lot of value opened up this past week, so maybe that's a bit of a unique situation, and we'll see what opens up this week. Well, you just got to go ahead and get these teams that are going to put up 35, 40 points and get all those fantasy points to go with it.
You know, talk about sticker shock. Devontae Adams, $1,300 more than any other receiver on the slate, and rightfully so. I guess he needs to be up there with the circumstances and what his production has been when he's been healthy. And great call. DK Metcalf will be the leverage. Who is going to pay for him when Tyler Lockett just put up historic numbers? He's $7,500. He's the second most expensive receiver on the slate.
That's expensive, though. That's tough.
It's so tough.
People are going to want to play Lockett at $7,100. How could you not? I mean, I always like Lockett, and then he gets 19, 20 targets, whatever he had.
In one game.
Yeah. So, like we said, I think anything else on the San Francisco side that you're liking outside of Kittle? Ayuk, I think, had an okay game. I'm making that up.
Yeah, and you know what? Seattle's been getting smashed by receivers. Debo is doubtful, I saw. Debo Samuel, doubtful, expected to miss some time. So that certainly opens the door. And Brandon Ayuk, pretty affordable. I mean, $5,800 in that game. Seattle short-ish week, kind of, I guess you could say. So I don't hate that. But, yeah, Kittle, I mean, those are two obvious runbacks there. Who knows what's going on in the backfield. The whole McKinnon thing, and Jamichael Hasty got some run. It was pretty good, by the way. And we'll have to keep an eye on Mostert's on IR. Yeah, I mean, Seattle
What about Hyde? Are we going to want to play Hyde?
$5,300. Do you like revenge games? I mean, you tell me.
I mean, because I think Carson's going to be out for sure, right? I think I saw that he was like week to week or something.
15 carries, saw 4 targets, which is a lot for him. And I know they were rotating Travis Homer in occasionally, but I don't hate Hyde. I guess I'm more prone to play him on FanDuel because typically he doesn't catch the ball out of the backfield, right? You know, more of a touchdown red zone guy, but I can't fault you for Hyde. I mean, if people are going to go to Jamal Williams a lot, depending on ownership projections, I might be more prone to, well, if I need somebody in that range, maybe drop down to Hyde if he's going to come in a little bit lower. Yeah, that should be that's a sneaky game, I think, you know, with all the totals and, you know, people are like, Niners, well, they're typically pretty good, but Seattle's just on another level, absolutely on another level. Another one I thought is interesting is, I guess we should talk about the Rams and the Dolphins. Tua going to make his first start. You know, some more news from earlier this week. I love Tua. I love seeing the rookies. I'm all about these guys getting their chances. But what a punch in the face to Fitzpatrick, who was playing really well and had this team competitive. And I guess I'm a little surprised in a season where the Patriots are finally in a lot of trouble for the first time since I've been in, like, first grade. That, you know, the Dolphins are kind of right there, that they made the switch when they did. So we'll see what happens. And maybe Fitzpatrick gets moved somewhere. I mean, the trade deadline is coming up. You know, lots of rumors and a lot of teams. I don't know. But regardless, as of right now, the Rams are 3.5-point favorites on the road against a guy making his first ever career start. So I don't know how he's going to affect that offense. We finally saw Devontae Parker have his relevant weeks and Preston Wilson here and there. I don't know. What do you think about that game, and what do you think about the quarterback swap?
I agree that the quarterback swap just kind of came out of nowhere to me, right? But, I mean, I guess obviously I understand the timing, right, that they wanted to do it to have the bye week to prepare. But if that was their plan, it seems to me like Fitzpatrick was blindsided by it. So if that was their plan all along, then, okay, that should have been the plan all along. Like, it just seems so weird that you take a team that has historically struggled and they're 3-3 right now. I think they were coming off of a Jets maybe. And then he just gets benched out of nowhere. It's strange. And yeah, it's going to be pretty difficult to predict what's going to happen there with two. keep my eye on that. And yeah, we're recording on Monday. We have the Rams Monday night game coming up. It's always the same cast of characters with them, right? It's playing, spinning the roulette wheel between Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and seeing which running back feels like playing on any given week. But I think that there's a lot of unknowns in this game, just given the nature of the new quarterback for Miami, given the nature of the Rams and their pretty much historic unpredictability from week to week at this point. So I don't know that I have a strong, I'll probably mostly avoid this game for this week, but I'll definitely be keeping an eye on Miami and seeing what that new offense looks like.
Yeah, that should be fun. I'll definitely try to tune in to that one as much as I can. There's a couple of games we didn't cover, and if you want to mention anything in them, you know, Steelers Ravens, huge game in the AFC North, 46.5 total. That's going to be a fun one too. Those teams typically pretty much are involved in a grinder, you know, one of those slugfests. So I guess Deontay Johnson status we have to monitor, right? We talk about that a little bit. The guy can't get through fourth quarters, and when he does, he has just a stranglehold on the target share. How many did he have? I know you had the numbers or you brought
up.
He
had 14 targets this week.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. When he plays and if he can stay healthy, I mean, I'm going back to week one, 10 targets, 13 targets. Then he got hurt for, 2 weeks? And then comes back and has the massive target, 14 targets again this week. So I did see his price came up a bit, though. To what? Is he in the 6K now, I think? Let's see. Oh, no, 5,500. So keep an eye on him in the injury situation. Baltimore, of course, greatest matchup. And, yeah, I think I agree with what you said, that most people will view this game as more of a grind fest. Two good teams, solid defenses going at it. Maybe not as much shootout potential as some of the other games. So I think it'll be lower owned in general, but probably for good reason.
Yeah, and then you got Patriots, Bills, kind of lower total there too. Two teams that are typically, uglier games, I guess. If there's anybody I'm interested in this game, I think you could consider playing Diggs as a one-off. He had 11 targets, didn't do much with them, but the volume's still there. You know, monitor John Brown, what's going on. There's some guys that had COVID there. So kind of the same thing from a couple of weeks ago when John Brown was out. Everybody was on Diggs against the Titans a couple of weeks ago. And Diggs, you know, he was getting every target pretty much in every passing situation. So don't like a ton of that as a lineup construction from a whole, I guess. And who knows, there could be some drama throughout the week with Cam Newton and Stidham, and who knows what's going to happen there. I mean, it was brutal over the weekend. So, you know, Cam and company are taking some heat from the Boston media and everything going on there.
Yeah. I mean that you don't see the Patriots get beat down like that too often. So I think the Buffalo New England really interesting for me from a real life football perspective. I think it should be although they've both been struggling a bit. I mean, Buffalo, I think, kicked 6 field goals this week. Kind of get into the end zone once.
Ugly.
So, yeah, I think both of those games that we just talked about, New England, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, they're better real-life football games than they are fantasy games, in my opinion. So, yeah, but at the same time, any week – you want to do a Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs stack, I'm certainly not going to talk you out of it. They always have upside that they can bring to the table.
Yeah, any other games or anything you want to talk about? You know, we have Saints, Bears, and we got the Bears on Monday night. Didn't get there yet. Kind of want to wait to see how things pan out. Obviously, we got to see, you know, what's up with Michael Thomas. You know, hamstring randomly bothering now. I really wonder if there's some more locker room issues there. I really wonder what's going on. He might not
be playing again.
Something's up there, man.
Seems something weird is going on there for sure. In which case, I mean, it's going to continue to be Kamara in that offense. I played Tre'Quan Smith in my cash team along with 10,000 other people this week, and I mean he didn't do much of anything.
And Callaway was the guy.
Ate it away, right? So let's see what he ended up with.
Nice game for him there. Nice game for him.
11 targets, 9 catches, touchdown.
And they're gonna be playing at Chicago, who have typically been pretty good against receivers this year too. So for me, that game might be kind of a pass unless there's something going on. I guess, you know, obviously consider Kamara every week, no matter who they play, especially if Michael Thomas is out. You know how that is.
Yep, I'm with you there.
Yeah. But and we didn't spend a lot of time on the Colts and the Lions. You know, we didn't really bring up the Raiders who were playing the Browns. So you got anything on either of those two matchups? I'll give you the floor, and then I'll give you my take. And then before we get out of here, I know your Birds are playing on Sunday night against the Cowboys in what is hysterically kind of a big game in the Andy Dalton injury. So let me hear anything from the Colts, Lions, or on the Raiders, and then we'll go back and forth there, and then I'll let you talk about the Eagles if you want to. I don't want to upset you on this one.
No, let's do it. So, yeah, Colts, Lions. I mean, Kenny Galladay, just always a beast. He didn't have much going for a majority of the game this week, but then ended up getting there. What did he end up with? I think he ended up with a pretty – yeah, standard 6 catches, 114 yards on 7 targets. He's still sitting at a nice value at 6,600. Him as a one-off piece in any lineups. There's not a ton on the Indy side that jumps out to me. I mean, Jonathan Taylor, I think, has kind of settled in as a pivot running back option on any given week, right? I think that he's never quite the standout or the chalky play, but he does have a nice role there and can be viewed as a pivot, although he is 6,600. I mean, it's hard for me to play that over like a Kareem Hunt for just a little bit more. So I think it's really – I guess Hockenson as well. I think he ended up having a decent game. Hockenson sitting there, 5,300 on DraftKings. It's gotten to the end zone this past week. So the majority of the Lions offense is running through those two guys, and that's predominantly where my interests would lie in that game.
Makes sense. I really wonder if Jonathan Taylor might be the contrarian move today. I mean, this week, whatever, today, this week, same thing. Just because of, you know, you have Henry in a smash spot, Dalvin Cook's coming back, Kareem Hunt's in a great spot. You know, and then the value guys with the injuries of Jamal Williams, people are going to go to him at 61. You know, Carlos Hyde, people are going to go to him if Carson's out. And Taylor's kind of in this tasty matchup. Hasn't seen more than 12 carries, 17, 13 the last couple weeks. Ever since that game against the Vikings in week 2 where he had 26, you know, he really hasn't seen a ton of volume. But he's been fairly efficient. He's averaged 5 yards a pop last week, 4.8 against Cleveland, 4 against Chicago, 4.5 against the Jets. So, like, when he's touching the ball, he's playing well. And Detroit, and we talked about it in a couple pods, is super vulnerable against the run. So I really wonder if they get into game script, which I get it. Like, we didn't see them, you know, falling behind against Cincinnati like they did in week 6 and things like that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe he's the forgotten guy. I mean, if I can get ownership on a guy who's still in a pretty good matchup, it doesn't happen too often, right? Like, if there's a good matchup, there's usually ownership. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how the cards fall there.
Yeah, I think it's a nice pivot spot.
But yeah, and for the Raiders, you know, I was thinking about the Browns are giving up a ton of points too now. Pretty bad against receivers. But where's the ball going to go, you know, in Oakland? It's just Nelson Aguilar is coming back. Here we go. And a couple big games put together. I don't know where you go there, but I can see a one-off from that side being in, you know, some good GPP lineups. It's just Renfro's under 4K. You know, where's the ball going to go there? Darren Waller is the top play in that game in terms of a consistency basis, I think. So, I, you know, we talk about how ugly tight end usually is. So, if you're not going Kittle or, of course, Kelsey, I don't mind Darren Waller in that game, which should be pretty competitive. You know, 5,600, 1,400 less than Kittle, probably has similar upside. So, I think he's right in that zone where if you're looking for exposure from a good game environment, could be Darren Waller.
Yep, agreed. I think Waller would be my favorite play on that side of the ball as well.
Cool. That's fair. Talk to me about the Eagles. You know, Eagles, Cowboys, not in the main slate, but I'm sure it'll draw a ton of showdown interest when that time rolls around. And obviously, you know, Andy Dalton, you know, concussion. And what are we going to see from that game? Who's quarterback in Dallas if Andy Dalton's out?
Yeah, we've got the NFC East leading Eagles. Just playing some phenomenal football. I'm sure everyone watched that lovely Thursday night game. I was actually about to turn it off, and then all of a sudden they just came back at the end when it seemed like things were over. But, I mean, they're just so banged up right now. I think Sanders is probably – he seems like he's shaken up to be a game-time decision. Ertz is out. I mean, it's just picking up guys off the street for the Eagles. And then the Cowboys are in even worse shape. I mean, I actually don't – I'm not even sure who their next man up is at quarterback, but it sounds like Dalton could be in some trouble here. And it'll be interesting to me if Dalton is out for any substantial time, if Dallas tries to make a move for a Fitzpatrick type of thing, or if they just kind of throw in the towel on the season. But, I mean, it's a shame because there are so many – fantasy friendly pieces in that Dallas offense, and when you have you're trotting out someone off the street at quarterback, it's tough to play any of them, even Zeke included. So it's going to be it's exciting of a game, as I would have thought Eagles Cowboys would have been preseason, but it's still Eagles Cowboys. I'll still be getting up for it. There will still be plenty of showdown action to go around for all of us to entertain ourselves with, but just not high hopes for this division in general. It's a sad sight, and it's almost just like, man, it would almost be easier if the Cowboys were just a clear favorite in the division and then we didn't have to worry about it. But now instead it's like still rooting for the Eagles each and every week, even though you know that if they make it to the playoffs that they got no shot.
What a difference a couple months makes. You know,
right?
One final note I did want to make. I'm kind of looping back here to Detroit. Is, you know, their reports were saying DeAndre Swift's going to get an expanded workload after he had a monster game the week before, and everybody got really excited. And he did lead the backfield in touches for the second straight week, played 45% of the snaps. Peterson still had 31%. And Kerryon Johnson, they just won't cut the cord on the guy, 23%. So, still hard to be like, yeah, like let's roster DeAndre Swift this week. Still hasn't seen 50% of the touches in any week. This might be a gradual thing. I don't know. But as long as the Lions are competitive, they obviously brought Peterson in for some unknown reason, which still blows my mind. But he's not going away. So this backfield is still a complete disaster in Detroit, TJ.
Yeah, just another one of those where it's pretty much locked into a committee, and by playing anyone, you're completely rolling the dice and hoping for the touchdown variance to go your way, which can happen. It's obviously just a lower percentage play, more of a dark throw.
Got anything else before we head out?
No, I think that's about it. Stack up those games, like we said. Think that there's a couple this week that we can go to from a game stack perspective, and it also seems like the friendliest games to stack are more on the cheaper side in terms of salary, so gives you the opportunity to stack up some cheaper games but also fit in some of the top expensive plays from other games. But yeah, Interesting week this past one. I think the chalk hit harder than we've seen in previous weeks. So we'll see what injury news emerges. I mean, I feel like the slate we ended up playing last week was nothing like the slate you and I talked about on Monday with the Geo and the Jamal Williams opening up and the Traquan Smith. So we'll see. Guessing game in the NFL every week.
Especially on a Monday night when you're trying to figure it out. I mean, we, you know, we could not guess that news was coming. You know, I saw Aaron Jones with a game time decision, and I thought, really? Didn't right. hear anything about that on Monday. But we do the best we can. Hopefully helps out. Check us out. Give us a like. Give us some feedback. Subscribe. Download. We appreciate all you guys. Check TJ out on Twitter, TJL5124DFS. Give me a follow at TheJCarlucci. Send us some DMs, any questions, any feedback, and we're here to help you guys out, as is the rest of our Roto Grinders team. For TJ Lasik, I'm Justin Carlucci. Have a great week, and good luck, everyone.